So joining me now is Enda Caldwell. What's your history in radio? Where did you start?
Enda W. Caldwell started when his mother bought him a clock radio way back in the late 80s. But initially, you know, radio used to frighten me when I would hear the pips on RTE in the 70s for the news. And then Michael Murphy or somebody would come on as if announcing the end of the world. So it was a pretty scary experience as a baby listening to radio, because I thought it was all darkness and death by listening to RTE. Later, Dear Frankie used to scare me too. But later, a station called Sunshine came on the air, and my uncle was telling me about it. He said, oh yeah, they have some of the, you know, the old Caroline guys involved there. And I thought, wow. And I'm only like 5 or 6 at this point. And then Nova came on. And Nova just blew me away, because I was stood there in my grandmother's kitchen, and I could hear this stereo signal, and the song was Golden Brown by the Stranglers.
Yeah.
And I could hear the stereo, and I'd never heard stereo before. Then I heard Casey Kasem's voice, and I thought, he sounds like the guy out of Battle of the Planets. But of course, he was a voice from the Battle of the Planets. So Casey Kasem, I thought this thing was coming from the sky, honestly, because I thought it was a spaceship, Nova.
That was a syndicated show, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was, but over, yeah. Radio Nova itself sounded like something from outer space. And then, you know, became really enthralled, and just, you know, it was like following a football team or perhaps a story.
Yeah.
So you kind of like just became drawn in more, like what's happened this week? And my uncle would come to paint our house quite regularly, and he'd be doing the glossing and the cutting in. And meantime, he'd be stopping to tell me a bit more about, you know, the exploits of Chris Carey. And he told me, he said, oh, he's going to go on satellite. And I was like, wow. And Energy 103 was another great station with Pat Courtney and Bob Gallico. And you know, I was just a complete anorak. I just loved the music. I loved the fact that those pirate DJs could make me laugh. I didn't really like parochial or local or radio. I'm from Navan, so we could get all the big Dublin stations there, yeah. Donal.
So Sunshine was making its way up to Navan, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, Sunshine and Kiss Monaghan. You had Radio West from Mullingar. There was a great, you know, mix of stations. And, of course, if you wanted to listen to Boyneside Radio or Radio Carousel, you could do that too.
So you had a good mix.
Good.
You weren't out of it in a sense. You got the big Dublin stations and you got your locals as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And did you cross over from listener to working in radio?
Later, yes. Yeah. I mean, the big thing for me was the fact that Atlantic 252 launched about 11 or 12 miles from my parents' home. So I was sort of in the backstory of Atlantic, where I was this anorak who was like, yes, all my favorite DJs are going to be on one station, and it's going to be from Trim. And I was from, like, you know, over the road. So, you know, I got to visit the radio station, look around. And of course, you know, I was bitten by the bug, really, at that point, when I saw how amazing Atlantic 252 was. And
Where were their studios?
The studios were in Trim, County Meath, yeah. It was a lovely big building, beautiful.
And morning close to the transmitter site as well.
That's
Yeah, huge.
7 miles from Summerhill, yeah.
Yeah, big, huge, long-wave antenna. Did you listen to the radio stations that are out on the North Sea at all?
Yeah, Laser 558, I knew about it, but obviously, you know, I'd been too young when it was on. But funny enough, reverting back, I mean, Jesse Brandon I heard on Nova, funnily enough, and she was a Laser jock, and then Rick Harris, and I heard them, I would have been about 10.
Yeah.
So I would have been aware that Laser 558 happened, but now I quite enjoy listening to the recordings that go out on RTI Offshore, where they run, you know,
And where did you get your start? Where was your first station?
I got
station?
My start sort of in Atlantic 252, where I helped out. So, yeah, you know, I could call Atlantic 252 my first station. I won't tell you my worst station, but, you know, I really would like to say that, you know, rather than saying I worked for, you know,
and did you go in as a runner
Navan Community
and
Radio.
Did you go in as a runner doing bits and pieces and helping out?
On a Saturday morning, I went to Province 5 Television in Navan, and then on a Saturday afternoon, I'd go over to Atlantic 252 and help out Tony West on a Saturday afternoon program.
Brilliant.
So he'd give me the playlist, and he'd say, pull out all those carts for this hour, and then I'd be there, and I'd say, what are you going to do next? Can I play a jingle? So, you know, he would allow me to do his segues and stuff like that, and that's kind of how I got my start, you know. And obviously then when he would be recording promos and things afterwards, I'd be hanging out in the studio with him. And you know, you don't realize how much you're actually taking in when you're sort of 13 14 15, you know, because you're a sponge really when you're a kid
taking
you know?
Everything in.
Yeah.
When did you get behind the mic at all? Did you become a DJ?
Well, my
or
friend had a pirate radio station, John Gartland, and then I decided, oh, I'm going to send him a tape. I actually didn't know the guy. I called him up. I said, can I record a show and send it to you? So he said, well, you need a mixer. So he got me a mixer, something like you have there, and I gave him the money for it. He dropped it off at my house. We met up and we became friends. And then I said, look, I'll do a Saturday afternoon show for you. So I'd recorded like a two-hour tape on a cassette, post it to him, and then he'd play it out on air. Me and my sister would sit back 40 or 50 miles away in Navan and listen to it. So very humble beginnings, you know.
Amazing.
I actually had to, you know, slip cue all the songs and have the jingles right, and I had a copy of the Kiss package. Of course, every pirate needs a copy of a Kiss FM jingle package, but yeah, that was it. But you know, I was such an anorak, and I suppose as many people in this room here like would say Enda Caldwell, he's probably the biggest anorak in the world. But you know,
I think we have the biggest anoraks in Ireland in the
room
today.
Yeah, it's great to see it. Yeah.
Have you met anyone that you hadn't met before, or any old faces that you have?
Well, I saw Dennis Murray right over there. Chris Barry is here. Dennis was my lecturer at Ballyfermot College when we were doing the media degree. And then, of course, Chris Barry then I worked with in the past, so and still a good friend.
So did you stay in radio? You stayed in radio over the years?
Well, yeah. Then I actually eventually worked, and I was the last DJ on Atlantic 252. But my local radio course was, I finished in college, went to Tip FM, then went to WLR for a brief period, then Southeast Radio. Then I went to Midlands 103 for a very short time, like 2 months. Then I ended up in RLO in Limerick doing pirate radio in 1998-99 and pirate TV.
TV in Limerick, yeah?
Yeah, TV in Limerick, and all satellite all over Europe. It was great. And Ger Madden was the man behind that, and we had a great time.
What was the name of that station, the TV station?
RLO TV.
RLO.
Yeah. RLO, and it was on the Sirius satellite, and we would make the tapes during the day, and then Frank would fly them over and play. There was an apartment in London, and he would just pop the tape in, and it would play out on. That was around 98, 99.
Wow.
MP3 was only coming in. You didn't have the internet as prevalent then.
Yeah.
You know,
you couldn't
send from Shannon to London were cheap.
So the show went out every day and over to London.
We'd have the local sport, the local news, politics, all that. It was great. And we'd do a program from a local pub called The Rambling House. We'd take that out live. It was great crack. It was kind of like RTE's Cayley House.
Yeah.
So it was like a local version. Usher, the crack was only mighty.
Any tapes of that? Any recordings left over?
I'm sure there are somewhere. I mean, there are a few bits on YouTube.
Who was the main people behind that channel?
The man who ran that was called Ger Madden. He had run the previous 95 FM in Limerick. Yeah,
German.
Great times.
Okay.
Brilliant.
No,
and then Atlantic 252 called me after I'd done some stuff at Kiss in Dundalk, which was a super pirate in Dundalk, with Paul Millen and John Gartland and John Gartland. And we had a good time there. And then Atlantic called me because I was sending in tapes to stations.
And you mentioned there you were the last voice on Atlantic 252.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. On the 20th of December 2001, the radio station closed down, and I was the last man on air live from the studio in Trim. And I was the one who hit the play button on the tribute show, which is still on YouTube, and you'll find it as the Atlantic 252 tribute, Enda Caldwell.
And then what did it turn into? 252 became...
Well, I just turned into a wreck. I was a nervous wreck when the station closed because it was one of the saddest days of my life. Team Talk 252 bought it, put it on Sky Digital, and just basically wasted the frequency for 9 months. They closed down, and it fell silent, and then RTE took over the frequency, and unfortunately we just got to hear another rebroadcast of Joe Duffy and the Moan Line, which is what it has continued to be. And RTE are very unhappy about having to pay the electricity on that transmitter, so I would say to RTE, sort yourselves out, you know, get your act together.
Because that was a big loss to the Irish diaspora in the UK who were...
You can't get it. Look, Atlantic was on massive power. It was on about 750,000 watts of power. People could hear me from one end of the UK to the other, from Land's End to John O'Groats. Problem with 252 now is they're on a dwindled small transmitter with lower power. And I've driven in England in the past couple of years. You can't get
it. It's not there now.
It just fades out when you go under motorway bridges. And even, it's not very strong. So there's no point in it. DAB is massive anyway. Just get on DAB.
Dab. Internet, know? Yeah. And where are you now? Where are you working
now?
Well,
where am I now? Here, talking to yourself.
Yeah.
No, Donald, I went to Today FM. I was 4 years there. I worked in the UK. Then I went to work for, I was invited to go to work for Radio Luxembourg, RTL Group. We're doing a relaunch of Radio Luxembourg in 05, 06, 07. And I was involved in that quite heavily as a production guy, an assistant program director, and an on-air host. So after that, then, that promptly sort of was shelved, a bit like Atlantic 252 before its time. We were sort of ahead of our time because they wanted to do the sort of DAB classic rock thing. It was a little bit ahead of its time, and sadly, you know, for many reasons, it didn't flow.
Just didn't make it.
And, you know, again, I wasn't fired. I, you know, I left of my own accord, but they actually finished the radio station a bit like Atlantic did. So it just closed.
Were they playing with the idea of DRM at the time?
Yeah, they were. DRM.
And get
40,000 watt transmitter in Berlin. And it was heard in Tullamore, County Offaly, on a DRM radio.
So you could do stereo AM.
Yeah, you could. And I heard it. I mean, the quality was a bit like long wave, to be honest. It was as good as sort of 48 to 64K internet feed. So it
low,
wasn't
low,
too bad.
Low bit rate.
It wasn't much top end.
I have seen it. They able to put in logo pictures and weather pictures and this track is, and you'd see a picture of the album.
Yeah,
it is an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's a technology that they still sort of experiment with. You see, all these technologies in different countries, and not one unified approach has been made. And I think it's a shame, because I think the sooner that cars get connected radios and everything is just Bluetoothed and you just bang your phone on. But it'll all, as Chris Carey said, it'll all come through this little device here, which is called the smartphone. And the smartphone has really taken over along with Facebook from radio. And I went to work at Radio Riviera Radio, 106.5 Riviera Radio in Monaco, with my old buddy Paul Kavanagh, who had been at Sunshine. Back in the day, I'd listened to Sunshine. And I had, you know, six happy months there. And then, you know, I was kind of missing my girlfriend in Luxembourg at the time. And then I decided, you know, go back there. Then that didn't work out. Then I came back to Ireland. And, you know, when you come back to somewhere on April Fool's Day and you think, is this a good idea? And that was sort of like 8 or 9 years ago. And I've been wondering that ever since. But, you know, I have a lot of other strings to my bow.
Can I ask you, where do you think radio is going? Do you think podcasting is going to affect radio, or is radio going to hold its own?
It's a very, very broad question. I think, where is radio going? Not anywhere to where I hoped it would when I was 13. It's a sad kind of a reflection. It was such a great industry. It was so exciting. And it was so good to listen to Henry Owens and Pat Courtney and Bob Gallico doing The Breakfast Show, or, you know, Tony McKenzie. All these DJs are the BBC jocks, Luxie at night. And now what have we got? You know, we just have jukeboxes. I was tuning in the car radio Friday morning, 9:45. I went to go look for music. I couldn't find a station playing music. They were all either talking or playing ads.
Breakfast,
and I mean, you're
two
talking,
anchors yakking away.
2FM, Spin 103.8, any of them. And I was going like, is this really the great future that we had imagined? Where it's going in the future, I mean, there are some wonderful things happening. I'm on a station about 5 years called Pulse 87 New York. Now, we're available on Amazon Alexa. And I believe that Alexa will just revolutionize the way people have a relationship with sound again.
Smart speakers
equals, you know, smart listeners. And once we get that over, that will change. I think also there was a wonderful thing back then of, we were always interested in showing the world how good we were by doing great radio.
Yeah.
Now we are very inward looking in Ireland. So when you tune into radio here, it's broadcasting to Dublin, not broadcasting from Dublin on 738 AM. We are too much inward looking. We need to start to go back out again. So do RTE. We need to go back out there and get the Father Teds out there, you know, and be present in the world. I think the attitude has to change in this country towards that. However, I do feel that there are some still great people on air. Carol Dooley on Sunshine, for example. She's probably one of the best people on air at the moment. If you tune around the radio, you know, I find it very hard-pressed to find a presenter who can engage, contact within a few seconds, and do something that you go, wow, that really connected.
So there's still good talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. back to the Alexa smart speaker that you mentioned. Is there anything special going on there? Is it just an internet radio stream, or do you have to get some arrangement with Amazon to get
onto
it?
No, I think it'll work. I think it'll just play tune in. I want to get one from Santi for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, because even at 43, I still feel like a big kid. But my friend in America, I've got friends in America who've got it, and I've been over there. It works a treat. And you can actually listen to it, and you can actually say to Alexa, Alexa, you know, play me the recording of, you know, Donald talking to Enda, and it will literally just pull that and play it.
If it's out there, if it's tagged properly and out there.
Once it's tagged and, you know, everything's out there.
Very good.
So it'll even play, like, stuff off SoundCloud. I think it will. And it'll, like, you know, Howard Stern, for example, is still going. I mean, Howard, as long as Howard keeps going, you know, everyone else should keep going.
And do you think then that on-demand radio, like programs that, if in the old way, we'd make a program, it would go out live, it'd go out into the ether, and that's the end of it. Do you think that on-demand style podcasting, that people put radio shows together that are serialized one a week, one every day, or even one a month, that, and then people can go to the smart speaker and just ask for that show, and that show's latest
It's nice to be able to do that, but if I want to hear Tony Blackburn, I want to know he's in the studio. You know, I prefer to hear Johnny Walker when he's live, because he said to me, how do you know if my show is live or not? He said, because calls to this program may not be answered. You know, we won't reply to your text messages. But the rest of the show will sound pretty good. But I think it's like, if you listen to live radio, say, a la the Chris Barrys of this world, you know, where he gets two nutters on the phone, that's the best of Irish radio. Where, you know, you go, my God, we really are an awful nation to slag each other off, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think it's like, you know, Charlie Wolfe came here and he was doing the talk show at Red FM. And I mean, you know, he created havoc. That's what you've got to do. If you're going to just go on the radio and just be normal, like everybody else, like, oh, I must do what my boss is telling me, then you shouldn't be in that job. We were taught in Atlantic 252 to be fun, be on the edge, be risky, have a lot of fun. And I think that's where radio is lacking these days.
You think it's gone? You think the
Sunshine was great. Nova, jeez, you know.
Are people scared of the broadcasting authority?
They have mortgages, lives, wives, children.
Yeah.
You know, they got cars to pay for. They don't want anyone else to come in and steal your gig, because obviously if you're better than them, you're going to take my gig.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. And unfortunately, there's no growth in this country. Nothing will change. 30 years has proven that, and it's been a sad, sad time. It just dwindled down. For Atlantic to close, I think, was a tragedy personally. But I think that to even watch, like, Henry Owens passed away, he started Red FM, you know, and, you know, there were some fairly nasty blows, you know, in the end, really, to a guy who started his own radio station, and he ended up voted off the board of his own radio station. It goes to show you, it wasn't just Michael Collins that got betrayed in Cork.
When you get into the car now, what's your station? What station do you
BBC tune? Radio 2. Because Simon Mayo's on it, Steve Wright, you know, I can just like listen to them and I go, yeah, you know what I mean? I know what they're about because I listen to them on BBC Radio 1. I would also like Sublime FM in the Netherlands, DB962 in the Netherlands. I would flick about to the listening of the old recordings of Laser 558, which are running on a loop from station Eric Wiltshire does over in the Slovakia or somewhere,
and that's on shortwave.
Poprad, he does RTI offshore. It's called
RTI offshore.
RTI. Check it out, guys. You know, it's a real anorak station. Yeah, RTI offshore, and you can hear Charlie Wolfe doing all of the stuff he did. You know, back when they were not giving them any supplies to the ship on Laser 558. I thought if I could go back in time, I would have worked on Laser 558, Sunshine 101, Radio Nova, possibly Energy 103, and then you know, maybe round it off with some Kiss FM in Monaghan, you know, and maybe the latter days of Q102 when it was Super Q and they were doing the Bebop Gold and Bop. No, they weren't doing Bebop Gold, they were in Bop Shop.
Yeah. A question I asked earlier was, did video kill the radio star? Do you think
not really
music,
I mean,
television?
Vinnie Handley was a great guy, and I think, you know, health complications killed. He was the radio star. Health complications and just him being such a nice guy. I think he was one of our biggest stars. And how do we treat him? You know, he did some great ideas and everything. But he ultimately, to make it, he had to go to London and then he had to go to New York. Really, would this country have nurtured him? Or would he just have been like bitter and old and in RTE on $500,000 a year and saying, yeah, you know, back in the day I did this. actually, it's nice to be always reinventing yourself, where you go, yeah, I did this and I did that. You know, yeah. Business is very important, you know.
Do you think radio needs investment? Do you think the industry needs more given to it back from the government? Do you think they need...
I think they get enough. I think all of them get enough. And I think they need to give me more investment and plenty of money and start paying me when I voice their ads. No, I think it'd be great to know how all these other radio stations in the 80s managed to get their money together and survive. They didn't get handouts from anybody. So I kind of wonder, you know, why it's so hard. And of course, there's a stupid idea that you have to have all this news and current affairs. My attitude is, if something big happens, like if a bomb goes off, God forbid, somewhere around the corner, it probably will be on BBC Radio 2 News at the top of the hour, right?
Yeah.
So if it's big enough, then I'll turn over to the television or something and find out what's going on. I don't need Irish radio to find out my news. I can see it on the internet. You don't actually need it.
Do you think that's it's killing radio, that you have to carry so much news and
Irish
content?
What's killed it is, I'll tell you what's killed it. It's a one word called greed. And it's, I'm not naming any names, but it's greed. And when greed takes over, you have what you have happening. And a very wise man told me that. And he lives very far out on in some of the islands, near enough to the Canaries. So, you know, he has personal experience of how radio should be in this country. So my attitude would be, we should listen to the wise people like that, you know. You know, pretty much, you know, like the old wise guy in Harry Potter. He's got it sussed. I think when greed takes over, it really ruins it. And when you're, if you got to ask yourself, are you about making the listener happy? Or are you about ratings and revenue and keeping Rupert Murdoch in a job or, you know, in a new house? Or are you about keeping your job or working for the man? Or are you all about having fun? And unfortunately, radio in the 80s and the 70s here with Declan Meehan and people like that, and the, you know, the pioneers.
They had the freedom to be fun. Yeah,
freedom to be funny. And then when they went into RTE and were told, oh no, that's not how we do things here. Like, we'll have to have a prayer session about it first.
Yeah.
You know, no.
Well, listen, thanks, Enda, for coming
You're
in.
Welcome.
And
I've probably bored you to death. And I managed to do all that
about.
All the time. I've gotten away with it, I'd say, for the past 25 years. And hopefully, I should get to do it for more. Donal, it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.